genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400. That's Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Or you can listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is National Public Radio done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That is 639-0008. Or outside of the county, you can call us at 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Fun Friday. Before we get to my first guest, to make the weekend great, I've got some tickets to give away. I've got some pairs of tickets to the Port Hueneme Beach Festival that's going on this Saturday and Sunday down in Port Hueneme. These tickets will get you in, get you a part of all of the fun that's down there. I'll give those away to the second, third, and fourth callers at 639-0008, 639-0008. Call in and win yourself something to do on the weekend. As I said, today's theme is Fun Friday. Both of my guests are going to entertain us with unique stories of very interesting personalities. My first guest knows what it means to be a clown. He personally knew the world's most famous clown and helped him write his life story. And what a story it is. This clown is a genuinely caring person, and he's related to generations of children because he may be the only adult who really understands them and never, ever looks down on him. He also spawned many other famous clown figures, including Ronald McDonald and Krusty the Clown. I'm speaking, of course, of Bozo the Clown. His real name is Larry Harmon. Thomas Scott McKenzie, we call him Scott, runs slushpile.net. It's a book publishing blog. He has also contributed to crunchgear.com and Wrist Watch Review. He is co-author of The Man Behind the Nose with Larry Harmon, and he's also completing a book on guitar players and their musicians for HarperCollins. Welcome to the show, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for doing the interview. Appreciate it. You're out here in Los Angeles, so how's this compared to the weather you left back home?
You know, it's actually cooler out here. It's been pretty hot in the Midwest lately, so in a bizarre way, Southern California is cooler than Ohio.
We have had our coolest summer here since 1999, so you picked up on that right away. Let's dive into your book, which is a beautiful book. I mean, as books go, this is a wonderfully manufactured book. It looks great. But the personality on the book, they were talking about Bozo the Clown, is amazing. Long before there was a Big Bird on Sesame Street or Dora the Explorer, there was Bozo the Clown. I did not realize it until I read your book. He had over 200 million TV viewers in 183 markets around the globe. There was a 10-year waiting list to get tickets for the Bozo show. Tell us, Scott, what's the enduring fascination that we have with Bozo the Clown?
Well, I think that Bozo really struck just the right balance. He had the wisdom of an adult, but he had the energy and the wonder of a child. He interacted with children on their own terms. He didn't view them as somehow incomplete adults or, you know, adults interrupted. You know, he related to them as they wanted to be related to. And, you know, over the decades, Bozo has remained untouched and unsullied. And so that really preserves our own sense of innocence and kind of it reminds us of our childhood. So during this book tour, we've had people 40, 50, and 60 years old coming up and telling us how much they love Bozo because he just simply hasn't changed.
That's exactly true. He is ageless and timeless. There's no question about it. It's very interesting to me. So you think it's the curiosity, the energy factor that he brings to it. Is there anything else besides that really makes him an enduring character in Americana?
Well, obviously, you know, just visually, Bozo is so distinctive. And, you know, the flaming red wig and the big shoes and things like that. We've had kids come to some of our book events who are 3 years old, 4 years old, And you know they've never seen the show because it's been off the air, and yet they know who Bozo is. And the second that they see him, their eyes just light up. So it's definitely the distinct visual appeal helps perpetuate the character.
Absolutely, it does. Scott, take us all the way back to the beginning. Tell us the story of how Larry Harmon got his start as Bozo the Clown.
Well, he was, at the time, you know, in the late 40s and early 50s, he was just hustling around Hollywood, working anything he could do. He believed in hard work, and he believed in pursuing every opportunity. If he could have auditioned for the role of the Lone Ranger's horse, he probably would have. And he was playing in a band around town. He was doing some movie acting. He was doing some radio acting. He had performed as a character named Commander Comet on a television show. So he was just doing anything and everything. Bozo started out being just simply another audition for him. But as he portrayed the character here in the local area for a short time, he really understood that this was the perfect vehicle to pour all of his energies into, and that Bozo, he could take Bozo to the next level, and along the way, he could achieve his dream of bringing joy to millions of people around the world.
Well, I think it's a very interesting story, because here's this returning GI, he's coming back from World War II, really doesn't know exactly what he wants to do. What was the impetus that got him into acting? What is it that really spurred his interest in entertainment?
Well, he was just literally a born entertainer, and as a child, he, you know, had a great time doing impressions and playing music. So he knew that, you know, he had this sort of entertainment drive. But like so many of us, he faced a point in his life where he had to make a decision of, do I take the practical career route or do I follow my passion? And a chance encounter with the legendary performer Al Jolson kind of pushed Larry to pursue acting and entertainment.
Interesting. Now, what did Al Jolson say to him that got him down the road of entertainment?
Well, he had seen Larry perform at a show that the troops were putting on, and Larry met Al Jolson and told Al Jolson that, you know, once I get out of the service, I think I'm going to go into medicine. And I like to help people. I enjoy science. And I think that's probably the best thing to do for my career and for my family. And Al Jolson said, you know, being a doctor is certainly an honorable and helpful profession, but you'll reach many more people if you become a doctor of laughter.
It's very interesting, a doctor of laughter. I do like that analogy. That's great. Now, Bozo, we're talking to Scott McKenzie, everybody. And by the way, I still have tickets for that Port Hueneme Beach Festival this Saturday and Sunday. Call us at 639-0008. You can win yourself a pair of tickets to the Port Hueneme Beach Festival. Scott, I think it's very interesting that Bozo really started out as nothing more than a promotion for Capitol Records to sell more of their storytelling records to kids. How did Larry Harmon spin that into a worldwide enterprise?
Yeah, I mean, Capitol had released these series of records for children, and they had had some local people performing the character here and there. But as their interest kind of waned, Larry stepped in and said, you know, I want to take this character over. He tweaked the appearance. He changed some of the mannerisms. He really made the character fit his own personality and his own energy and vitality. And then, to sort of create this empire for Bozo, he went to every television market that he could go to. He often said if they had a transmitter tower, I was there. And he pitched them a local Bozo show.
Mm.
And as you mentioned, at the top, he ultimately got it on in over 180 markets all around the world.
Yeah, just incredible. Now, I find it interesting that The Hollywood Reporter, which is a magazine that reports on everything that's show business, they called Bozo the Clown one of the first reality TV shows. Why is that?
Well, at the time, you know, it was a live TV show. You had interactions with the games and the children and things like that. So, you know, and the local nature of it definitely made it feel more, you know, regional, or it fit the area better. So when people were watching the Bozo show, and if they were in Des Moines, Iowa, or wherever they were, you know, they weren't seeing something being in New York. I mean, they felt like it was theirs. So at the time, it was very much a reality show, which is interesting because Larry himself, his own private life was like a reality show, you know, decades before we ever knew what reality shows were.
Now, why do you say that? That's interesting.
Well, by today's standards, it's not that unusual to turn on the TV and see people doing these crazy, outrageous adventures and stunts. But Larry did these, you know, decades and decades and decades ago, so he wanted to challenge himself and face trials and tribulations, and so, you know, he went to the jungles of New Guinea dressed in full clown costume. You know, he experienced zero gravity on these planes that were nicknamed vomit comets. You know, he himself did a lot that, you know, to push himself, and all of that's in the book as well.
We're talking to Scott McKenzie, everybody, author of the book, The Man Behind the Nose. He also co-wrote this book with Larry Harmon. I want to come back, Scott. We'll talk about those stunts in the second session, but you're a significantly younger man than Larry was in writing this book. How did you get involved with writing the book?
Well, as Larry was reaching a certain point in his life and he was reflecting on all of these adventures, you know, he started thinking about it would be a good idea to do a book, to share his story, and to hopefully inspire younger readers. A mutual friend introduced me to Larry and his wife, Susan, and we kind of hit it off and, you know, just decided to start working on the book together. And in a lot of ways, being younger than Larry really worked to our advantage because, you know, we didn't want the book to simply appeal to baby boomers who grew up with the character. You know, we wanted it to appeal to younger readers who maybe had never seen the show. And so the age difference was actually a very positive thing for us.
Very good. Now, when did Larry die, and you carried on the work of writing this book after his death? Tell us about that.
Yeah, he passed away in July of 2008, and we had gotten a lot of work done. Larry was very involved in the process. A lot of times you hear about these situations where there's a celebrity and they're working with a co-author or a ghostwriter, and basically the celebrity gives like 3 hours of worth of time with the writer, and then the writer has to go off and do his own thing. That wasn't the case with us. Larry reviewed pages diligently, and we spent hours going over some of the things. So we were pretty far along when he passed away, and then, you know, after an understandable sort of time out to let the family grieve, and of course I had to kind of go through a sort of grieving process myself, his widow Susan and I finished up the book.
Oh, okay. Great. That's great. We're talking to Scott McKenzie, everybody, the author of the book, The Man Behind the Nose. Scott, we're going to break for some commercials here. When we come back, though, I want to get into some of those famous stunts that you were talking about and really have you elaborate on what made them so interesting and really bleeding edge in its time. Save that answer, not right now, but wait until after we come back after this short commercial break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, and today is Fun Friday. We're talking with Scott McKenzie, who's the author of The Man Behind the Nose, the Larry Bozo Harmon story. He actually worked with Larry to write this book about the clown's famous life history. And because we're a live show, Scott, we've got a caller who is actually on the show. Gary wants to speak. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I was, one of my aunts, she worked with one of the, people that got talent for movies and all kinds of stuff. She worked over at Paramount, and then, she got us tickets. We got to go on the Bozo show, and we got to go on the Popeye show. But it was like inside of a studio, and we just, some of the kids would sit in the bleachers, and they had, like a little bleacher thing and stuff, and, you know, it was really fun. And then, you know, they used to talk about, reminisce afterwards, the fact that, you know, like, could see, like, you know, Marilyn Monroe on the set over at the studios, and just kind of, you know, it's kind of neat, you know, knowing, you know, what my aunt did for us.
Sure, rubbing elbows with all those celebrities, Gary. Now, you really beat the odds. You know, there was a 10-year waiting list, Gary, to get into the Bozo the Clown show. So just by knowing the right people, you pulled a few strings, and bingo, bango, boingo, you're in. That's great.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, how will you always remember Bozo, Gary? And then I'll let you go.
I think he was happy and kind of upbeat and made kids laugh, and it was just like a laughing show. I mean, you know, it's just like he tried to, you know, just make people happy, and, you know, it was a fun time, you know.
Absolutely.
And then later on, when my aunt would, you know, be around people that were of the studio too, and they would talk about, you know, gee, I wish we could have talked to Marilyn and said, you know, get your life together, and, you know, I mean, everybody cared about everybody in there.
That's nice.
So they didn't meet, though, but
wow,
it was
nice. What a wonderful story. Gary, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that with us.
Okay.
Appreciate it. We're talking to everybody, to Scott McKenzie, who's the author of The Man Behind the Nose. It's the Bozo the Clown story. And you co-wrote this with Larry, who was several years your senior. Scott, what are you going to remember most about Larry Harmon?
Just simply Larry's eternal optimism. You know, he always felt like there was a way to achieve anything that you wanted to achieve. He wasn't naive or unrealistic about life's challenges, but he just always simply felt like there was a way, and nothing ever stopped him. I'm told that the morning that he passed away, he got up and was actually talking about scheduling meetings with various Hollywood executives because he wanted to pitch some new show ideas. So he just had an unflagging energy and was eternally optimistic.
Oh, I love it. Let's talk about some of the stunts that you alluded to earlier, because Bozo really did stunts before stunts were very popular, and he did so many wild and crazy things. The first one I want to talk about, though, is in the early 70s, when Nelson Rockefeller's son went missing in New Guinea, is when Larry went out and had his own little adventure. Would you tell us about that?
Sure. Larry liked to sort of combine a number of different things into one adventure. So he would often do things that he had a personal interest in, but that could also be combined with an educational opportunity for children and other things. And he was in Australia promoting the Bozo Show, and he had always been fascinated his whole life with jungles and this idea of primitive man and kind of the primeval beginning of life, if you will. And he said, you know, we're this close, let's just go on over to New Guinea, which is still a pretty developing nation even to this day, but back then was, you know, very, very remote and rural. And it was around the time when Nelson Rockefeller's son had gone missing in New Guinea, and some allegations were that Rockefeller's son might have actually been consumed by cannibals. And so Larry decided, let's go over there and see what we can find out, and let's see if we can do it in a full clown costume.
And so he went out into the jungle, was chased by cannibals wearing his full clown costume.
That's right. He really believed, you know, maybe dangerously so, but he really believed that Bozo crossed all borders, and that language didn't matter and that culture didn't matter. And the fact that the show was actually on in places like Thailand and Brazil, you know, kind of support Larry's belief. But when he was in the jungles of New Guinea, he kind of used a similarity between a native tribesman's headdress that featured feathers that were protruding from his head and his own wig. He kind of used those sort of similarities to sort of build a relationship with this person and let them know that even though we don't speak the same language and we come from very different cultures, we're maybe more similar than we might think. And of course, every culture on earth loves to hear the laughter of a child. So he always had that commonality.
That's wonderful. We're talking to Scott McKenzie, everybody, and he's reminiscing on Bozo the Clown. He actually helped write the book with Larry Harmon, who was Bozo the Clown. Now, I find it interesting that President John F. Kennedy's eldest daughter, Caroline Kennedy, Bozo was her favorite character. So what honor did President Kennedy bestow on Bozo?
Well, he had asked Bozo to be an international ambassador for children's safety. And Larry actually spoke to Kennedy shortly before Kennedy's assassination.
Interesting. Do you know what the two talked about?
Well, he called, you know, the way Larry told the story was he picked up the phone, and, you know, various secretaries and different people had kind of patched it through up to that point. And he picked up the phone and he heard this very famous, very distinct Massachusetts accent. And he immediately thought it was a joke. Larry says, you know, I was pals at the time with a bunch of Hollywood actors, a bunch of people who did voiceover work, and he thought it was somebody playing a prank on him. and so he started kind of playing a prank back and started playing dumb and was like, you know, having fun and kind of joshing around with a caller. And then finally it dawned on him. He's like, oh, my God, I really do have the President of the United States on the line.
Oh, my gosh. He's joking with the leader of the free world. That's incredible.
Exactly.
Well, those are some of my favorite stories. What are some of your favorite Larry Harmon stories?
You know, the Man Behind the Nose, I mean, has just so many of the cool adventures that he did, not just related to Bozo, but things in his own private life and his business. A lot of people don't realize that in the early 60s, he purchased the rights to the Laurel and Hardy characters. So he was a very astute businessman, as well as being a good clown. But, you know, my own kind of personal memories that I took away from the project were just interacting with Larry and working with him, we fell into a habit of speaking on the phone every Sunday, and we would talk for hours and hours and hours as we were working on the book. And I often say that other writers were lucky enough to have Tuesdays with Maury, and that was a very formative experience in their life. I was lucky in a slightly different way. I had Sundays with Bozo.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Scott McKenzie, everybody, author of the book, The Man Behind the Nose. Now, Bozo really spun off some very, very famous characters and people that are associated with him. Let's just run down a couple of them. Jim Henson, who is the creator of The Muppets. How is he related to Bozo?
Well, Henson was working at the time, and, you know, The Muppets had been seen on some shows, but there was some tie-ins to The Bozo Show was one of their... not their first, but one of their kind of big breaks, if you will.
That's great. And continuing down that whole Sesame Street theme, Carol Spiney, you might not know the name, but I tell you what, if you've ever watched Sesame Street, you know the character. She is the character of Big Bird. How is she related to Bozo?
She performed, she was one of the Bozo's friends. When Larry purchased the rights to the character, he felt like, you know, Bozo's a really cool dude. You know, he's not just going to be out there by himself. And so Larry wanted to create a sort of cast of buddies around Bozo. And so each one of the Bozo shows had a different sort of assortment of characters. And Carol Spiney was one of them.
Oh, that's great. And again, one of the more famous clowns, not nearly as famous as Bozo the Clown, but certainly right up there, Willard Scott. What's the Willard Scott connection?
Well, Willard Scott actually performed as Bozo in the Washington, D.C. show. And then after that show had kind of run its course, as Willard tells the story, a local McDonald's approached him and asked him to do some commercials, and they wanted him to create a character. And the line that Willard Scott had was that there was just something about the combination of burgers and Bozo that was irresistible to kids. So that was kind of how they sort of grew Ronald McDonald.
Well, you kind of point out an interesting fact that Larry Harmon wasn't the only Bozo the Clown, nor was he the first. In fact, Pinto Colvig, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing
it. Colvig with,
Colvig,
a, C.
with
yeah.
a C, has that honor of being the first. But among the 200 or so people that played the role, are there any endearing characters that stick out in your mind?
Well, certainly as you travel around the region, you'll hear stories about, as you travel around the country, you'll hear stories about different regions and their particular Bozo performers. Certainly Bob Bell gets mentioned a lot for his years on WGN in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Avruch in Boston was a fixture there. But it's interesting, because of the continuity and the way Larry ran the organization, every region will fight with you and they'll argue with you and they'll say, my Bozo was the only Bozo, or else they don't even know that there were other shows. Larry himself was very appreciative of the work of all the 200 men who had performed as the character. And he never singled anybody out because he felt like all of them had a pivotal role in the character's success.
No, I think that is great. We're talking to Scott McKenzie, everybody, who's written the book, The Man Behind the Nose. Now, everybody talks about the Bozos in Washington, which I think is very funny that they use his name in that vein. But many people may not remember that Bozo actually ran for president in 1984. So tell us the story about the campaign. But more importantly, there were some assassination attempts as well. Why would anybody want to assassinate Bozo?
Well, Larry used the term. He said that as you went through life, you sometimes encountered people who, in his term, had lost their way. And I guess anybody that's a famous clown, you might attract a few knuckleheads along the way. But Larry decided to run for president as a way of trying to increase voter turnout amongst young people. And along the way, he had some frightening encounters with people.
Absolutely, he did. There's no question about that. We're talking to Scott McKenzie, everybody, who's the author of the book, The Man Behind the Nose. It's the Bozo the Clown story. It's a great read. Where can people find the book, Scott, if they're interested by what they hear?
Well, the book's available nationwide, and it's at all retailers. You know, as you mentioned at the top, we really worked very, very hard on the visual presentation of this book and how it looks. So I encourage everybody to pick it up at the bookstore and flip through the pages just to see how cool it is. It's also available on all online retailers. And if you're in the L.A. area, we're going to have an event at Book Soup in West Hollywood on Sunday at 4 p.m.
All right.
Say hello.
Be there. If you're interested in something to do on the weekend, Book Soup down in Los Angeles. There's a signing and event going on down there as well. Scott, we've only got about 30 seconds left, but I ask this of every author that comes on the show. What did you get out of writing the book?
I got to interact with Larry Harmon, which, as I said, was an internal optimist, and he was really the driving force behind Bozo the Clown, which is such a great piece of Americana that, you know, it was really a pleasure to work with such a legend.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, Scott McKenzie. It has been a delight. Thank you so much for sharing part of your day with us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure.